Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, episode 19. Pandemic episode 19. Socially distant as fuck. Joining me, as always, Mark Abbott, Kirk Johnson, and tonight, for the second time ever, the show goes full Voltron. Two more lions. Ray Munns and Laura Lipschitz.
Woo!
Joining us from MTV Infamy and Parts Unknown.
Third time, actually.
Yes, third time for you.
Third time.
Is it my third time?
No, yes, I think it's like your fourth time. You're like not a virgin anymore, honey.
Yeah. You're a seasoned hoe now, Ray.
I'm very liberal.
Wow.
You are very limber.
You're a wop.
So anyway, you're a wop. Wow. All right. Before we get into that, I figure we should talk about something a little more dignified.
I'm not even high yet, and I'm laughing.
And I guess
not
that's
yet.
Good,
he says.
I guess that's a good
not
sign.
Not yet.
We have an hour. So Kamala Harris officially the vice presidential nominee for the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
For election 2020. I'm happy for the most part. I'm relieved. And I say that as someone who would have voted for Joe Biden and whoever was vice president if they had been caught in a Motel 6 with hookers, a midget, and a pirate. And at this point, it doesn't matter to me. But I'm one of those people that just wants to get rid of the orange fascist man, baby, swamp thing that is currently occupying the White House. And that's kind of where I'm at. But it is nice and it is groundbreaking and it's historic that, you know, we have Kamala in this position. But anyway, enough about how I'm feeling about things. Laura, how are you feeling?
You know, honestly, like, when I knew Biden was going to be the candidate, I was just like, this sucks. I think on some ways I'm very liberal, in other ways I'm moderate.
Sure.
So it's not that I think his policies are bad. It's that he says dumb things and that people think that he has dementia and other things like that, you know, and
of course,
right. He's not the best speaker. And so, no. The way I saw it was, great, we're not going to win. I'll be honest with you. I felt pretty dismal. I felt like, honestly, I'm like, there needs to be a third party. I've always voted Democrat, but now I'm like, we're acting almost as bad as, not as bad as, you know, Trump, obviously. But I really felt like no hope at all. It came to a point where I was like, I just threw my hands up. I don't know a ton about Kamala, but she's no dummy. I mean, I was just reading up on like all her Wikipedia stuff. And, you know, you're talking about someone who went to Howard. You're talking about somebody who had two educated, although divorced parents. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about somebody who spent years as a DA. So she's going to have a thick, thick skin. And I think she's going to be a great, much necessary and needed compliment to him. It's unfortunate that the roles aren't reversed. In terms of her being the president and him, you know, being the vice president. And look, it's not that I dislike him. It's not that. It's just, I'm honest. And he is not the strongest candidate at the gate. He's just not. I mean, we all know it. So let's be honest about that.
Sure.
But I think it's amazing that people can now look and say, wow, like she made it that far. It'll be interesting. I'm still pretty nervous. Mm-hmm. I still am nervous about the chances of him getting in the office. I'll be honest. I have other friends that feel very confident that her joining is like, we're now going to win. But I just don't know. I mean, our country is in shambles and absolutely crazy. And I just feel like I have no idea what's going to happen. But I'm excited that she's the candidate. And I kind of thought she would be. I was just kind of waiting for him. I knew it wasn't going to be Warren. And I think she knows her stuff, but I don't know. I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but I feel very uneasy. I don't feel very confident about getting him out of office right now.
Right. I think it's a really slim freaking chance in hell right now.
Okay, so I'm not the only one that's feeling a little depressed.
And I'm someone who's gone through all gambits of the political spectrum in my life. When I was a little kid, I grew up thinking Nixon was God's gift to America because he's the one who opened up relationships and communication with China. Mm. And I was like, I don't even give a shit about the scandals. I was like, look at what he did on the international level.
Right.
As far as Reagan, I was like, you know, I was, my dad was a Republican for quite some time. And even he's like, yeah, I got fooled. He was like, I kept listening to news reporters always talking about the death tax. And when I die, they're going to take everything. And yeah. He was like, until the internet came around and you explained to me, son, you know, because I did. I called him out. I asked him, how much is your net worth, period?
Yeah.
And when he told me, I was like, this doesn't affect you at all. And it won't affect your friends. It won't affect the rest of our family. Why is this such a big deal? And why is everyone screaming this out like death tax? And I know that wasn't the Reagan era. The Reagan era was when he decided to borrow huge sums, borrow, quote marks, out of Social Security. And we've never been able to freaking get that money back in there because every president after just keeps taking money out of the Social Security fund. They don't tell all of us, hey, that's why there's no money there.
We're taking like it and
using it on other shit.
I hated Reagan because he made us do those presidential fitness things in school. And you had to do like climbing the rope. And I like looked at my gym teacher like, you really think I'm going to climb that rope? You got to be kidding me.
You want to hear the opposite?
And the pull-up bar? Now I'm really fit. Now I could do the pull-up bar. But I looked at her like, yeah, we'll talk about this later. I'm going to go back to creating my own soap opera or whatever it was. Or being Madonna. Thank you.
That thing carried over. as far as the presidential physical fitness test, which is the name of it, and it's what you're talking about, and I know this. I still have that goddamn certificate framed in my fucking closet. Do you know why?
I never got one,
right? Oh, well, when you have a Korean immigrant mother who gets a fucking lame generic certificate that every other kid who could run a mile and do some push-ups, and it's got a, you know, the fake president on there. She framed that thing and told every relative, every friend she met, like, my son got the presidential physical fitness test for having good grades and being in shape, and he signed it directly. And me and my dad, every time, we're just like, oh, dear God.
Wait, y'all want to talk about the legacy of Reagan?
Yeah,
the legacy of Ronald Reagan?
Then here's
I live in a crack house.
What the fuck?
I live in a place that used to be a crack den. Yes, I have my two doors, my back door and the front door, are iron doors. They're not wood.
Wow.
They're not framed. They're not beautiful. They're iron metal doors because this used to be a crack den. That is my takeaway from the Reagan era.
Oh, jeez.
Don't forget. Right. Don't forget because you can't forget Contra, Ali North.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I'll say before, my dad was a big Democrat. He was a big on Jimmy Carter.
Oh, coming from the islands. My dad grew up huge on FDR, and will still tell you FDR was the greatest president ever.
What happened?
So I'm like, then how the fuck did you ever become a Republican? And he is like, once again, he's like, they fooled me into thinking that I'd be able to leave this planet with more stuff for my kids. That's what they got him with.
Yeah.
But not even that. Even now, he's the most helpful guy in the world. He just, you know, he literally just cut my mom, who's his third ex-wife, and my dad is her first ex-husband. She does have a second ex-husband, okay? My dad literally just handed her a $4,000 check out of her savings to help with her freaking house down payment. And he even said, like, you're the luckiest ex-wife in the world. He's like, if you weren't the mother to my children, like, you know, get out of here.
Can I be the mother of his children?
And he's not rich. I know his finances. That's actually a substantial amount of his net worth as far as liquid assets. So then my political journey took me to thinking Dana Carvey was awesome. So George Bush must be awesome.
Really?
I don't know. This is how idiots think. I never said I was God's gift to freaking anything. All right. So when his son ran,
Right. All right. And this is when I started the journey to being woke. And you'll love this.
Be careful, Ray. Be careful, Ray. Okay. Okay.
No, you will love this.
All right.
I am one of those idiots. Remember when people said that Bush Jr. won because, you know, he was the type of guy everyone wants to have a beer with?
Yeah.
That's exactly why I voted for that fucker. And then once 9/11 happened and he was fucking sending troops, I was like, wait a minute. You know, this war on terrorism is dumb because that's just fucking impossible. Right. I just wish he would admit the truth that he wants to get some, you know, pride back for his dad and he wants to conquer the fucking area for oil. And I would be fucking cool as fuck with that. And that was literally me in my early 20s. And then I don't know if you guys have seen me interact with my buddy Julian on Facebook, where he was like, you were the most like, what is wrong with you? How can you be supporting this guy so much? And I kept going back to the, oh, he's real. I can hang out with him. And it reached a point.
He wouldn't hang out with
never
you,
would have. No, well, I never would have changed until he kept poking and prodding. And finally, I lost my shit. And I was like, you know, you're disregarding my opinion. That's our president. If you were right here, I would fucking hit you.
Uh-huh. Really? Over
and
Bush?
At that point, I could even hear the shock over the phone.
Over Bush.
Over Bush? He was so funny, though. He had the most quotable
there
things.
Have been a lot of fights over Bush, okay, Laura?
He's
throughout
is
history.
A different kind of Bush.
He's horrifying. Yeah, yeah.
But George, the son, he was hysterical. The way he talked, oh, my God.
He was horrifying.
But this is the whole point.
He was horrifying.
We're in that same situation right now.
But worse.
Like up until recent, well, as far as how people are making their decisions,
this is much worse.
Right.
But I'm saying how they're making up their minds and how they're standing their ground.
Well, you know, the thing is that, with that, I understand what you're saying. It's their stubbornness to see the wolf in the hen house.
Yeah. Like if my friend would have challenged me when I said, I want to slap you, if he would have gotten angry, we would not be friends anymore. I'd be that same asshole, but worse. Instead,
the thing
he said, bro, you just threatened me. I'm so disappointed.
I see this. The big difference between Bush and Trump is Cheney. It's Cheney.
There is no Bush wasn't. Board.
Bush was, because Bush was he was a good old boy. Let's be honest, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So he's not the brightest bulb. He's a good old boy. He's one of the Dukes. He's one of the Duke boys, which everybody loves, right? Being the General Lee, driving around.
Yep.
I don't know, doing all types of fuckery. And
Fuckery.
But he had, but Cheney was, for lack of a better term, the Sith Lord. Cheney was the one who made the policy. Cheney's the one who did the policy making.
Definitely.
Yeah. It wasn't, you know what I mean? So
Bush was a puppet.
You have that.
Well, exactly. Bush didn't figure it out until year 8. And this was from me actually like researching and shit, and that everyone says, all the political pundits, year 8 is when he figured out he'd been played for a fool for 7 years.
Excuse my language. You're going to wait till the last year of your second term to figure that?
You got to remember the guy was an idiot.
He's even worse than the Duke boys. At least the Dukes would have figured that shit out in like their second term.
The Dukes had some cleverness to them. They managed to pull Boss Hogg every week.
No, but, Boss Hogg is Donald Trump.
Well, there you go. And see, when we're talking about who's worse, who's better, who's this, who's that, I will say this much: as evil as Cheney was, as dumb as Bush Jr. may have been, if we had been hit with a pandemic with them in charge, they would not
have gotten to this level.
They would not have let this go this far.
Agreed.
We would not be 160,000
dead
corpses. Weird. This is next level fucked up.
I hate to be that guy.
They would
have
handled it much
better. 171,000 now.
Yeah, that's true. Because we're at about 1,000 a day, so you're probably right.
They would have done it better, because the other thing is he has his father's, right, years of experience as a president. He could have turned to him, like, and they also listened to Fauci. They listened, you know, at that point, you know, even Reagan did. Oh, well, somewhat. But, like, I definitely feel we would have been better off. I mean, we would have been better off with anybody but him. I think he wanted so badly to look like everything was okay that he just put his head under the sand.
Well, I hate to say it, but he also took a page from Reagan's book, because Reagan...
was bad during the AIDS era. Horrible.
Oh, very bad. There's an AIDS HBO Democrat documentary.
Yeah.
And the band played on, which really breaks down the indifference, I want to say, that the Reagan administration played into it. And as we were talking last week, when we were talking to Hillary, kind of the same kind of thing, where it's like, well, this doesn't seem like it's affecting my voters, my constituency, you know, the people that are quote unquote on my side.
Oh, of course.
So I'm not going to worry about it.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a bias against gay people, and assuming it was just a gay disease and everything, definitely.
And also just for the fact that it turned out it wasn't just a gay disease. It was also, it was for all intents and purposes, it hit urban communities hard.
Yep.
Because, you know, just basic urban blight, just the fact that we don't have, as we have seen during this pandemic, we don't have the access to good medical coverage and that sort of thing. So, you know, and it's like, and I'm pretty sure as Mark and Kirk, who, you know, they're somewhat close to my age, you know, we all came up in that crack epidemic. So we, being where we, being here in Brooklyn, we had a much closer look, say, to the damage that was done. I mean, there was, I specifically remember having to miss classes for the sake of funerals, and that was in high school and college.
And that's terrible. So,
you know, Mark, you know, and your father was a cop during that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he never talked about it. If whatever he saw, because he was in Coney Island, and that was just the dredge of society down there. So he never came home and spoke about what he saw. That was sort of like the unspoken thing. You know, we don't talk about it.
Right.
To put my two cents in, my issue right now is, and someone said this to me and I was trying to put a handle on it, I feel like this choice was an emotional choice, not a practical choice.
Really?
Leading up to this choice, particularly the Southern Black women were all over MSNBC screaming, he must pick a Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
It should be Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
If he doesn't pick a Black woman, we can't really say how the election is going to go, which in layman's terms is, if Bernie doesn't get the nomination, I'm not going to vote for him.
Well, and I'm going to say, as a Bernie guy, the progressives are going to ruin this, man.
Well, my thing was, it's not that I didn't feel she's not qualified, but if this turns out to be something where he picked her because he wanted to avoid pissing certain people off, it's not gonna end well. I am nervous for this whole thing, because really, I think what we're forgetting, take politics out of all of this. Let's take all of the laws, Congress, and everything else. Let's boil this down to just simple brass taxes. This pandemic has showed us how stupid the majority of this country is. And what I fear is that people are not, hold on. What's up?
There's a bug under my tent.
You better kill that bug, because I don't like bugs.
That is just so adorable. One day I will get to experience that.
Why that look on your face, Mark?
Mark was not liking that. He doesn't want to kill the bug.
Just stay here with me.
He was about to drop some science. He was about to drop some science on the cipher. And he got him kill a bug. Look, son, you got to understand the mathematics of the situation. Right? If we take this variable and toss it over here under the fraction, under fractionalization, what, baby? That was a look on your face.
That was a look on your face. Because, you know, when the circumference of the earth moves, you know, and the sun goes down on the left. Wait. I'll be right back. So like I was saying, when the moon moves around the earth, you were talking about the sun. Wait, what? Oh, the sun. That's right.
It depends who you're asking in this country, actually.
The majority of people are dumb. The majority of people we have learned from this pandemic.
So here's the thing.
Yes.
When I start to hear the reasoning behind much of why Donald Trump got into office, let's take Russia out of this whole equation.
Okay. You sure?
Take that out of the equation and take the one thing that we do know, the racism. Let's move it.
Okay.
There are people who literally watched reality television and actually thought this man was the real thing that he portrayed on TV.
Yes. Yep.
He was not a career politician. So this ideology to be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. I don't want a government guy. I want an average Joe guy that speaks my language and understands where I'm coming from.
But he doesn't.
He doesn't, but he played that role.
Yeah.
He played it
well.
Right. And you know what I want to interject with? Just because I have a YouTube channel now. In that goddamn contest, they asked the question of which celebrity would you want to have as president? And my opponent said Will Smith, and my answer was very similar to what you're saying now. I was like, I don't want a celebrity as president. I want someone who's gone to school and has experience in politics and knows what the hell is going on.
Yeah. I fear that's the thing that I fear is that people will look at this and just go, you know, the same thing, because what happened with Hillary? I don't like that person. So I'm either not going to vote, or I'm going to come up with some excuse as to, oh, you know what? I'll just let everybody else do the voting for me. And I'll just sit here and I'll wait and see what happens when the smoke clears.
I get it.
I worry even more what happens should he get back in. Because I personally don't think he's going to make it.
Trump gets back in.
Wait, who? Trump or Biden?
Trump. I don't think he'll see the end of those 4 years.
What do you think will happen?
What happened to Reagan? Although this time it'll take.
Hey, all right. So this is what we do, guys.
I really. That's what. But on the opposite end of that.
Yeah.
I am. The thing that I'm hopeful about is that we're all in the same damn boat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And because of that, that may be the thing that gets Biden into the White House. Because, you know, it's like network. You know, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. Mm-hmm. And the simple fact now that they had a thing on this evening that in Portland, they started removing mailboxes off the street. Mm-hmm. Talking about the post office is saying that they're cutting back so they don't need all of these post boxes. He's literally, because I really don't know if, I don't even know if Mark is going to help him. Like he came on TV today.
Yeah. He came on TV and admitted that he was defunding the post office.
He's defunding the post office.
That's crazy.
So, and this is something, but this is something that's been happening since
since
the Reagan era. Mm-hmm. The funding of the post office has been happening. There's a thing where there was a process along with the Southern strategy of defunding certain federal agencies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that started happening during the Nixon era. That was the big thing. Republicans at the point at one point in time at that time during FDR hated the New Deal. They didn't like the New Deal.
Of course.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm sorry, Mark. I didn't mean to cut you off, but
no, that's fine. I think that's the one glimmer of hope. I'm just hoping at this point everybody gets up and does what's necessary, what needs to be done at this point. And because I'll tell you now, if before the nationalists were kind of just sitting back having their feet up, after this announcement, they're mobilizing quick because they definitely want to make sure they stop this at the pass if they can. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy for her. I think this is going to be what, the fourth time we've had a woman try to be on a major ticket. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Hillary was the first woman to ever actually break that glass ceiling and actually become nominated for a major party. Yeah. We've already had three women who went for the VP seat before.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm hoping that this time around, the pick is genuine. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he believes in what he's done, and that we have a very strong mobilization at this point.
We need numbers. We need people in numbers to out there. People need to just literally do this. That's what I did when I, you know, had to do, you know, yeah, just do this. I mean, and vote.
We're kind of in the
we
same
don't have choice.
We're kind of in a funky situation where, you know, there were that handful of Republicans that were like, I didn't want Trump, but I voted for him anyway because he was in my party. You know, we kind of got to go on that thought process. You know, whether you know, like I said, I wasn't thrilled that it was Kamala, and it had nothing to do with her record or the person that she was. There was just a lot of talk in the background about what would happen if it wasn't an African-American woman, or particularly her, that was bugging me, because I'm like, let's not play that. Let's not do that, because you can't have your way. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, okay,
to your point, that's kind of what happened with the Bernie situation.
But that's been going on forever.
Candidate.
If you look at the Southern, the idea of the Southern strategy, mm-hmm, that's a bunch of racist dudes saying, I'm not going to vote for you unless you back me up.
How many Republican friends do you guys have, is my question.
Look at your Facebook and you can figure it out.
my number has taken an extreme hit. I want to say, I mean, if we're just talking Facebook.
Oh, no, I mean, like, real life, family, things of that nature.
Family,
none in the family.
You said friends, not acquaintances, right?
There is not a single Republican who is not going to go out there and vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have family members that are Republicans, and they still say it. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing right now.
That's why I don't have Republican friends.
I'm not going to let a Democrat be the fucking president.
Well,
and
I mean,
I'm just like, what? And this is family. And I'm like, what the fuck is
wrong with you? But that kind of goes to my point about thinking practically. Because I think that's what the thing is just because.
You can't think practically in this country.
No, that's what I'm saying. Just because this is a pandemic. Yeah. And a lot of bad things. I mean, people are dying. People are losing their jobs. People are losing their homes. I mean, it's affecting everyone.
Oh, everybody. Everybody. Yeah.
Just because it's affecting everybody, you know, people are still, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I'm still going to vote for it. And I'm like, even now with school, I mean, they opened up the school down in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the kids took a picture of the hallway, mm-hmm, put it up on Facebook. First, they suspended the child.
Yeah, they suspended her.
Then they gave her. They let her come back. But then literally the following week, they had to shut the entire school down because there were like 9 or 10 cases. And the response to that is, well, we're going to shut the school down. They'll do remote learning for 3 days while we clean the school, and then we'll open back up.
Meanwhile, the young lady got death threats.
Yes.
Dude. Yeah.
And here's one more thing. How many of you guys are friends with like hardcore libertarian, or how many hardcore libertarian progressive friends do you guys have?
I personally have. And I think it's just, I like to listen to other people's points of view, and I can't just be like, oh, you don't believe what I believe, I can't be your friend. It's just not my personality. I have a lot of friends that are definitely Democratic and very super, super liberal and like Bernie heads, you know, and then I've got friends who are middle of the road. I've got some Republican friends and I've got some Libertarian friends. I have some people who don't agree with Trump, and they believe, even though they're Republican, they know the virus is real. So I kind of have everybody on the spectrum, Facebook is so difficult for me, because I'm hearing all these voices and people arguing, and it's becoming, honestly, a place I don't like to be that much.
Sure.
Because it is so stressful that I feel like I can't, like, it's almost too much, and I still have to decide if I'm going to send my daughter to school, and that's hard enough as it is. You know, that
Laura, I'm in the same boat. We have been talking this talking point for the last couple of weeks. Whether we shouldn't, even the plan that they came up with here in New York, it's a solid plan, but really, yeah. I mean,
what is the plan?
It's on off remote learning. They go to school a couple of days a week, they stay home, but the problem is the home part. We don't know if they're going to set it up for the kids to continue learning. Do they just meander around? I mean, these are important years for my child. You know, these are developmental years.
Yes.
And it's just nobody knows what to do, because the one thing I've learned working jobs my whole life, nobody on the top, nobody on the top stops. We can hear it. Nobody on the top wants to take responsibility for anything.
Oh, totally.
Nobody wants to be the one to see, because even with everything that's going on, the big question here is, what are parents supposed to do?
Right.
We're not allowed in the buildings when the kids go to school. We're not allowed to do all of these things. Some of us have to go back to work, but there has been no plan put in place for us, you know? So now what happens? Do, you know, like they're saying, well, put your kids in a cohort. Okay. A cohort,
like,
which would be,
kids.
It's a group of kids. And then it's like this same group of kids will, on the days they're not in school, let them all hang out at somebody's house. Well, here comes the problem with
group.
That.
Like,
how do
group.
I know at, so let's say Kirk's kids are in my class, in my daughter's class. But how do I know what Kirk's setup is at home? How do I know if Kirk comes in from work, he didn't catch the virus, and, you know, like, the whole thing is just nerve-wracking and scary, because none of us as parents want to be, we don't want to get that call. We don't want to be the ones rushing to the hospital. And even now you get criticized for that. If people are like, are you sending your kid back to school? Yeah, I think I'm going to let them do the blended learning. Are you crazy? You're going to send, I'm not sending my kid. And I'm like, well, setup at home that you can do that, but
not everyone does.
Not everyone does.
Her district is doing 1 week on. Mm-hmm. So you would go in, there's 13 kids in the group. They'd be in school. They have to wear their mask because the school's saying we can't keep them 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
There's not enough room. And then the following week, mm-hmm. they would be virtually learning through Zoom. Yeah. Or they do have the option to go full virtual.
Right.
And my instincts in terms of a health perspective is I should just keep her virtual. Mm-hmm. She can do dance classes masked with the same kids, which, you know, there is still a risk with that. But she did it this summer with a few kids, and I could see a difference. I would literally drop her off. She'd be miserable. I'd pick her up, and I'd be like, there's my kid. Here she is. She's happy, you know? And they did an excellent job. It's a one-room studio. It's amazing. They're just so wonderful there. Very clean. Kept all the kids spaced out. So I was thinking, okay, maybe I'll keep her home, and then I'll have her do some dance classes to see people, to have the mental connection. But then I'm like, wait a second. And if she's on virtual learning all day, where am I going to work? Am I just going to work from my couch? Am I going to work from my bed? Is she going to start to disintegrate? Because last semester she was doing great. She acted like there was no pandemic. And then all of a sudden every day was guttural tears.
Yeah.
Like deep depression. When you see a 9-year-old turn to you and go, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
It was very hard. So I'm worried. But then I'm like, if she's going back to school and they're telling everybody, stay away from your, like, keep space from your friends. Don't walk this way down the hallway. Make sure you got your mask on. Is that really a fun environment?
Right.
Well, and here's the thing. You two will hate me for this, Mark, Laura. sure, and I even had it verified, because this morning I have a buddy who actually sits on the school board. And he was like, you need to watch this. It's 2 hours long. But you'll get to see what it is us that are making decisions regarding the kids, what the process is, and what we're saying and doing. And he even said it. Keep in mind, only two of us have children out of the 12. Only two. Watching it, half the people, it was straight politics. They didn't give a shit. And they even had, you know, like a Trump picture in the background, stuff like that in their Zoom meeting. And they'd just be like, no, everyone needs to come. It needs to be full time. We're given a date for this. And I mentioned to my buddy as I was watching it, you know, I just read something that says new science is now proving that it's not 6 feet. It's 16 feet.
Yeah, that's crazy.
When someone speaks without a mask that, or an ineffective one, like one of those neck hangers, that in aerosol form in an enclosed room, it can now travel 16 feet and linger, that it is in that form airborne, okay? And I go, you know, you're on the school board, so have you looked into that? And he goes, no, that's true. He's like, that's one of the reasons we're taking this so serious, because the science is changing constantly.
Yeah.
And we're having to keep up with it. And he's like, and right now, and I was like, well, I don't see much of that being discussed. And he was like, we can't create the panic if the other leadership isn't willing to, but we know about it. So we have to do our best. And he's like, we don't have a choice. And he sent me, you know, the diagram and their whole outline on their hybrid learning program. They're splitting the school in half alphabetically. Wednesdays are strictly admin days where everyone comes in and they literally figure out which staff members are sick, need replaced, all that fun stuff. And then every month, and this was their big debate, was how often do we, you know, check in with the parents to let them know where we're at on the path to full-time normal school again. Mm-hmm. Everyone that was a hardcore Republican wanted a firm date.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the non-Republicans, because there were independents and non-politically affiliated types there, were straight up like, guys, this is ridiculous. None of us can predict the future.
Not with this virus.
And then my buddy actually made the point of when you guys don't have kids, you would understand it's just as traumatic to tell a kid every week, you're going to get to go to school again in a week. Mm-hmm. It'll be normal. We just found out from the school. And then 5 days later, you guys call, you know, we have to call them again and go, hey, it's been pushed back by 2 weeks again. We'll call you next week. We'll let you know the status. Mm-hmm. You know, kids need stability. Even if it's really shitty stability, it's better than no stability.
Shitty
at
stability
all.
Is better than no stability. That's why I was thinking the virtual option might be better, because if they have to pull everybody, I don't want her to be, you know, at least she'll kind of be used to it already.
And I just feel so bad for you guys, man.
Ugh,
like having kids in this, worst. I was like, oh my Lord, if I was a parent right now, because, you know, once again, watching that meeting and talking to my buddy who's a parent and making decisions for everyone else's kids.
Eek.
He was like, bro, like if a kid dies, like I'm going to take this really hard, and it's a shitty thing. But on the good side, the superintendent in that of the school, his brother had died from it, and he was now helping raise his brother's kids. So that was someone who, when it came to creating the plan,
obviously took it seriously.
He took it, like he was straight up. Like their health is number one.
See what I said, Steve? Early before, nobody fucking does anything until people start dying.
Agreed.
Well, no, that's true.
That superintendent. That superintendent. He was a superintendent. He had to wait. His brother had to pass away before, and he had to take charge of his child before he started figuring that shit was a real thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's the stoplight syndrome. You know,
that's exactly right.
I call it the Mau Mau syndrome. My motherfucker was fighting for their freedom in Kenya for a long time. The British will say, no, I ain't doing it. I ain't giving y'all independence.
Well, and I think it's even on a bigger level.
No. It wasn't killing the British. They had killed 300 Kenyans, and then catch it on camera. Before motherfucker said, you know what? This doesn't look good for us. Let's give them their independence.
Right.
That's what happened. It didn't look good for me, so we should probably do something about this.
Well, I mean that seems to have been the thing with this whole with the pandemic. Going across the board. It really has been people screaming. I mean, think about Chuck Woolery, went on Twitter on this Twitter rant about how the virus wasn't real till his son came home with it. Then he retracts all of that and then cancels his Twitter account. I'm like, okay, so now you're going to go run and hide. All right, I got you.
It would be better if he used his celebrity to say, you know what? I was wrong, and then did a campaign.
Guys don't do the I'm going to be brave and magnanimous thing. That's not their DNA. Nope.
On the other spectrum, we have Herman Cain's sister. I mean, Herman Cain's daughter taking over his Twitter account.
Oh yeah,
it's the ghost of Herman Cain.
Yeah, what? What
they said that Herman Cain, they had me cracking up tonight. There was Herman Cain for 2 weeks, but his Twitter account is still berating the Democrats. I'm like, wait, what? And then
that's the other side. That's the one side I figured
his daughter took over his Twitter account,
and now she's berating the Democrats.
Yeah,
now she's caping for the Republicans. She's caping for Trump.
Yeah, and it's.
Well, she might be the dumbest woman alive.
No, that's Candace Owens.
Yeah. I'm sure her dad is rolling in his grave, so.
Oh, dear God, Candace.
And then there's Candace Owens, of course. They could have the dumbest woman alive Olympics, I guess.
I take it back. No, it's Susan Collins.
She's at least in third place.
She's the one going. I think President Trump will figure it out. I think I have trust that President Trump will do the right thing. That nigga ain't do the right thing.
And here's something. Okay, from my 15 minutes of fame, I became friends with some extremely ultra wealthy people.
So yes, you did.
They happen to be white. So you know, I've gotten to hear. When you get in living in Vegas as a washed up celeb, whales and high rollers would spot me, and suddenly I'm friends with some fucking multimillionaire from God knows where for the night.
Yeah.
And it's a great fucking time. That was the first 3 years I lived in Vegas. I mean, you know, that washed up fame fades away, but the first few years, it's still fun to have stories with that guy.
Yeah.
Economic Darwinism. I've actually heard that several times from the ultra wealthy, and that the socioeconomic system is designed straight up to eliminate the poor. And that's to keep the human population down, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, wow, that is some bullshit. Cause I don't know a single person who has super fucking amounts of money. And these are the people that I knew. Okay. And I know that they all inherited their wealth and were able to do other things.
Yeah.
These are some of my Asian friends who inherited their wealth from their parents. My white friends who inherited their wealth from their parents. Same fucking concepts. And I'm always like, bro, if there was real Darwinism going on, you're dumb as a block of fucking whatever.
How come I didn't get inherit anything well from my white parents?
I could, you know, free my own fucking empire.
But yeah. Should I invite them to the Zoom, Laurie? You want to add this out here?
Okay. Why not?
Oh, what, rich people?
And next on the show, Mr. and Mrs. Lipschultz. How are you, folks?
Where's my money?
Where's my money?
Where's my money? Honey needs her money.
What's that line? You just gotta bust out baby powder and start shaking it on your hand.
Well, what was the line from the Blues Brothers? Hey, how you been? Hey. Nice to see you. Where's our money,
motherfucker? And now Mark didn't suddenly develop a speech impediment. His child is right behind him. He can't say. The word
I can't say.
The rest of us could motherfucker all night. Mark, on the other hand.
Wait, so Mark, we ain't gonna talk about WAP tonight, ain't we?
We need to. That I'm still like the golden nipples.
All right. Switching gears. Which will be a nice.
Come on, let's not switch gears. I love this political shit. I can't do it on my YouTube because my YouTube is designed to be.
Why not? Why are you pointing, Mark?
Ray, Kurt. No, Ray.
That was intimidating.
He's mad, Kurt.
Yes, sir.
I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you.
How are you going to get past that iron crack den door, though?
Sure, he's like, that's what I'm saying, man. Come on.
Okay, well, we can't talk about it.
No, you're fine.
My God.
My headphones and stuff on.
No, we really can't talk about it.
I'm that horrible of a person. Oh,
exactly.
My God.
Yeah. Stop.
I'm gonna make you talk about WAP while your kid's there.
Oh, my God. Yo, does WAP stand for what I think it stands for?
Yeah, what does it stand for? Is this
worship and praise?
I can't answer. What?
Worship and praise.
Okay. All right, because I was like, all right, this is definitely the edited version of the song, and this is still just like, holy. And does WAP stand for? And
worship
and
praise.
Yeah. Okay,
Mark,
so that's definitely
let's
it then.
Go with
that. All right. Raise, you said wait, you said worship and praise?
Worship and praise.
Testify.
Yes, you do. Yes. When I experience
when you
the
make
WAP,
it squishy.
I do testify. Yeah, I do testify.
Definitely size queens in that video.
So terrifying. Damn, I thought that was the Team America code for help.
So the funny thing about this video is just like Kamala Harris upset a bunch of insecure white people by being nominated to the vice presidency, this video, I want to say, made insecure white people upset,
Shapiro.
But in a different kind of way.
Was it Shapiro?
I think it was a couple of them.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's kind of interesting that they're commenting at all because, you know, when I want my hip hop criticized, I don't necessarily need to hear from, you know, the governor of Louisiana or somebody like that. I mean, it's like, fuckery. It's like you're clearly not the target audience. Why are you even involved? I don't understand. It's like, you know,
what are you doing watching it in the first place?
And then there's that. And then there's
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
And then there's that.
he was doing watching it. So
you know, there is
before,
all
during, and after.
The funny thing, the funniest part was actually
he probably didn't last for an after.
I saw the Ben Shapiro
or a
I saw
during.
Ben Shapiro.
Well, I barely lasted during.
And Ben Shapiro actually had the audacity to actually refer to his wife about WAP, and that is a medical. It was a medical disorder. Ben Shapiro came on TV and said that he asked his wife, who's a medical professional, about WAP, and he said that she said that if you do have wet ass pussy, then there are certain medical disorders that you might be afflicted with.
No.
Okay.
At
no.
Which
stop.
Case,
you know
what's at which case? No. At which case, everybody who's watching it said, God bless your wife. Because obviously she has not experienced the WAP.
Obviously.
And neither has Ben.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna just come on out and say that they've probably experienced DAP.
Yes, dry ass. Yes.
And in
or
doing
maybe,
so,
maybe not with each other. Yeah.
And not and right. And in doing so, would then perform the mental gymnastics necessary for the other option to be
Are you having trouble? Are you having trouble with this?
The option?
The other option is abnormal to them.
All I know is I yelled out dog pound many times while pounding that.
Dog pound? This what? Man is single, ladies and gentlemen.
Like, ladies, line up.
It's because I've gotten the bath quite a bit.
Shit. We have to give Ray away on the show.
What? Oh my God.
Why didn't I think of this sooner? We have to give.
What do you mean give Ray away? What do you mean give
dating contestants?
Wait, ladies.
No, I feel like I'm just like Barney Stinson when I'm single. You could put me at a sports event and I'd be holding up a poster board with my phone number.
Okay, Ray, you're not helping. Hold on.
Will you wear a shirt that little that'll say like do the Bartman or something on it, Ray? Like I just
No, I say dumb things, but I dress.
You dress nice. Like,
that's right, ladies. That's right, ladies. He dresses to impress.
Oh yeah, my cargo
shorts.
I
will be right back. I'm child matter.
Child matter. Copy that.
It'll take a minute.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. Take your time.
All right.
Do what you got
to
do.
Here's one thing that I just have to name real quick. Is that all right? It's going to be like a 45-second Ray Munns rant.
Yeah. 45 seconds.
Go for it.
Okay. All right. Let's start this shit. As far as the WAP thing, I think it's because just growing up in other countries and coming here, everything is just hyper fucking sexualized from birth. Everything is sex, 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 sex in America. So anyone who thinks there's any sort of problem or has complaints about that song, they need to shut the fuck up. Like, this is where we're at, and we've taken tons of steps to get here, and the flow is great, the lyrics are fun, the beat's hot, fucking, it's a great video. But this is just where American society is, and just like with Trump's failure to ever accept responsibility. I know this from having a best friend that's 90 years old, so I would assume a lot of the things he says to me at times are things from his generation. Mm-hmm. You know, don't say sorry. That means you can get sued. This, and that. Now imagine that after the course of four generations or three generations getting amplified each time, and now you have a generation of voters who get it. They look at him not accepting responsibility, and they're not like, whoa, what an idiot. He won't accept responsibility. They're like, what a bright fucking guy. He gets it. He doesn't want liability for this bullshit. He doesn't want to get sued. That's a great fucking businessman. And I think that's the big problem, is that when you look at the D's and the R's, because Trump is just such a fucking obvious idiot to the entire fucking world, okay? The D's are too busy just mystified as to how the R's can sit here with their opinions instead of examining what got us to this point. And it wasn't just like a little bit of ignorance that happened now. It's a whole chain of ignorance that's been amplified each time. Like, my dad's, hell, two of his ex-wives, my mom and the ex-wife before, and even what I consider my step-siblings, they all say the same thing. You have had the most magical effect on your dad.
Aww,
he went from being that hard-ass, like, if I run into you in my car, somehow it's your fault, because I'm not going to get sued for this. I'm not saying sorry. Into the guy who gets out and goes, hey, are you okay? You know, like, that's a big difference there. And I think when you look at that frame of thinking, that's what we need to battle, and not just political ideology. We need to go a bit deeper in society and turn back into the society that accepted responsibility for their actions And if they were going to get sued, let's hope that it's a jury trial and it's a fair verdict. I think the McDonald's coffee thing, that's a fair verdict. I actually researched it. When I read the amount of damage that was done to that woman, that was fair. But the media made it out to be like some crazy freaking verdict. She never should have been awarded that much money. It was some hot coffee. They never put out the amount of damage that was done there. And that was the turning point, in my opinion, that just hammered home, don't ever apologize. Liability. Liability, you will lose everything. Really? And really? That significantly changes a culture.
Yeah,
it turns a lot of people into assholes. And then as far as I've had a lot of friends come in and out of prison, they go in down as fuck. That's the easiest way to put it. They may be dumb as fuck, but they were also down. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had your back no matter what. They came out, half of them were preaching Ayn Rand and fucking when Atlas Shrugged and preaching independence, doing it on your own. If you can't do it on your own, well, fuck off.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, holy guys, like it's all on a societal level where it's the cards are just falling.
I don't think it's societal. I think it's cultural as well. It's not just societal. I think it's cultural.
Yeah. I think once we can get everyone to look at that aspect, I think there'll be a lot more, you know, at first there'll be a lot of fighting. No one wants to go, shit, I've been wrong for 30 years and my grandpa was a dickhead. Right. And they don't have to. They can just go, oh, crap. And that's how people are taking it instead of going, oh, man, grandpa was just a little wrong. That was his era. This is my era. I got some new information. Let's roll with it and make things better. Sorry, I was a dickhead. Like, I always talk about the dumb shit I, you know, said, believed in, everything else as a 20-year-old. It's embarrassing. It is. And it makes me feel as though people look at me very differently when they find out my opinions from back then. But you guys also accept me, love me, and realize I've changed. I think a lot of people are scared that if they don't hold their ground, somehow they're a sellout. Or people are just going to make them out to be a huge dickhead. When they just want to be able to be like, bro, I wasn't a huge dickhead. I get it. I was kind of a dickhead. But in my own brain, I was a good guy. Like, just give me a hug. Let's fucking move on with our day. Does that make any sense at all? And Ray Munns is now ending his stoner rant.
And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us.
I want to talk about that.
If anyone out there smokes weed, I'm sure you've heard rants like that before.
We are actually pretty close to out of time here, but
we need to get back to the video with the golden
Laura, horse. Okay, Laura.
And the tigers.
What's on your mind, Laura?
And the stallion.
As far as the video goes.
You know what? I mean, I'm so conflicted because, like, I mean, the women, I really am. Like, I'm probably going to think about this, like, for the next 5 days. Number one, the women are beautiful. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
No doubt about it.
Hater. Okay, I'm not a hater. I'm not one of those, I can't believe you wore that. No, they look great.
Oh, my eyes popped out of my head.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure your eyes popped when you were in the dog pound, right? Or something.
Oh, God.
But my thing is, I think it would have been even more awesome if it were more like subjecting like men. Like, so for example, women are always often the object, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would have been cool to see some guys,
some beefcake
and shit. Yeah, because like salt and pepper. That's turning it on its head.
Mm-hmm. Like salt and pepper.
Yes, but yeah. Like what a man, on their what a man. Level, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
yes.
I get some of it had, yeah, you know, kind of lesbian and bisexual you know, airs to it, which I thought was definitely cool and definitely like it was a statement. But some of it is just like, oh, okay, that's just what guys want to see at the strip club. I want to see you take it another level to where you're turning the stereotype on its head.
Nice. Thank
kind
you.
Of the way I see it as.
And, like, yeah, you're right.
And I'm just going to say,
women don't necessarily find some of the stuff in there hot. Some of it was, right? The touching and like the.
But it was mostly for the male gaze.
By the way, when the milk comes out, it sprays. It doesn't come down like that. It's all over. Trust me, I sprayed myself before. But
okay.
One time in the shower, I'm like, holy shit. Holy shit.
You know what? I feel like let me
I mean?
uh,
The male gaze, like I wanted to turn it around because I felt like this is being done for men. You're not empowered. You're doing what they want. And if so, that's great. More power to you.
Yeah.
But if you want to really turn this up, I want to see some size queen. Let's show some.
No. Well, I want to say then totally that's Pornhub. I agree as well. I think that would have been made. That would have been more interesting. Definitely.
Yes. You don't think it was bordering on porn? That video?
I thought, honestly,
entertainment instead.
No, no. Honestly, I thought it was nice and provocative, and I thought it was cool. But I also didn't think it was any different or any worse or better than anything Nicki Minaj has already done.
Yeah.
Anything Lil Kim has already done.
Yeah.
And a host of other rappers and so on. Yeah. And honestly, it's like the funny thing is like the people that are detracting from it for whatever reason, Cardi herself made a point of saying something to the effect of, well, you know, there's a lot of other people out there doing positive rap, but you guys aren't buying that. You're buying this.
This.
And, yes. and I need to be paid. So this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And that was the only thing. I was exposed to the hype before I saw the video. So I was actually like halfway expecting to need a cold shower myself. And I was just kind of like, okay, all right. I would definitely not kick either one of them out of bed. But I mean, that wasn't.
Nah. Yeah, of course not.
That wasn't Cardi the B. end.
Yeah, I don't want no brrrr in my end all bed. I don't want no brrrr in my bed. That's not going to be. That's not.
Well, I'm sure the next time. Yeah. The next time she's over, you guys can work that out.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we'll have a discussion.
Exactly. Once she gets past the iron gate.
Right, we'll come to an accord.
Yeah, but when you think
once they get past the iron door.
When you think of the fact that a lot of rap videos, right, like the male rappers were always like making women look a certain way and look sexy, there is something to say, okay, here I am, a female rapper, and now I'm going to kind of do what you guys have been doing, and I do think that is cool, but I don't know.
We still got a long way to go. No, we got a long way to go.
We do. Yeah. And unfortunately, we don't have a long way to go to the end of the show, so we are going to close it out here.
I love you guys.
So anyway, thank you guys. Really, this has been fun as always, having the full Voltron on the panel here. And I got to tell you.
We almost have all the right colors on, too. Steve, you screwed it up.
Red, yellow, blue.
No green.
Yep. There's no green, so.
No green, missing a black.
We need to do it. Let's get Ray a girlfriend show, please. About?
Oh, that's
why you screwed it all up.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. This is the Black Lives Matter Voltron.
We're going to do a pop quiz, too.
There you go. We got two black lions.
Yeah, we got Black Lives. This is a Black Lives Matter Voltron. So,
all right, we are. Yes, let's figure out how we're gonna have a Cell Ray off episode real soon. But in
maybe
the meantime,
be a little less
close
high,
out,
Ray,
because we gotta shoot a little virtual verdict for our viewers on Facebook. So.
Okay.
So this has been fun. It's been great. Fantastic. Laura, thank you.
Oh, love you guys so much.
Ray, appreciate you.
Oh, love you too.
Stay hydrated.
Hey. Mark Abbott, you a bad motherfucker?
I try.
Especially since you can't say motherfucker. And
you,
Kirk Johnson.
Hey.
Take care of that wall, man.
I shall.
All right.
I shall.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.